mojobreak.com.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to the MojoBreak.com Sports Card Show. This is episode 2. We're just picking up steam. We got all kinds of exciting, fun stuff to talk about today. So I hope you guys had a great Memorial Day weekend. I know I did. It was all about the relaxation. I went and checked out Hearst Castle and pretty much tried to keep the iPhone on mute. Did not look at it. Did not bid on any cards. Tried to forget about my group break for the next 3 days. Checked out some beaches in San Simeon area. If you're not from California, highly recommend the Hearst Castle. It's pretty amazing. A lot of history behind that. Really cool tour and fairly cheap. So if you're ever on the central coast of California, hit up Hearst Castle. Thumbs up, recommended by Doug Fresh here. So for today's episode, we're going to go over hobby news. This is just to give you a little table of contents. We're going to go over hobby news. We're also going to give you a rookie report on baseball. If you listened to the last episode, we kind of went over some minor league players. This episode, we're going to go over some guys that are already up that might have a chance at winning Rookie of the Year this early on in the season, being that it's June 2nd right now. So we're going to give a snapshot of their stats and, you know, who you want to buy out of that group and who you want to sell and stuff like that. We're also going to go into the minor leaguers and tell you a little bit about who's hot on there. And we're also going to touch on guys that haven't been drafted yet. BaseballAmerica.com came out with a mock draft for this year's 2011 baseball draft. So we're going to go over that a little bit as well. We've also, NFL, we've assembled a roundtable. We're not going to talk about the lockout, but we're going to talk about guys that we think are breakout players, sleepers, overrated, underrated, and our early Super Bowl picks. We're also going to do product reviews. We're going to go, 2011 Prestige came out. It's the first NFL licensed product. It's got some good rookies, Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert. We're going to go over that product, give us our take on the 2011 Prestige because we just broke a case of it, so we're pretty well-versed on what's coming out of that. Also go over a 2011 Pro debut. So thank you for tuning in, and as a staple in our podcast, we're going to play some songs for some bands that you haven't heard of. I know you guys like AC/DC, Metallica. You've heard of that stuff, so I'm not going to play that. I'm going to play bands that you haven't heard of. So thank you for tuning in, downloading. Check out mojobreak.com if you're into group breaks. Check us out.
Hobby news.
So this is the hobby news portion of the podcast, a.k.a. Word on the Street. So I was going through Panini's website. I noticed they did a roundtable. You can see the three videos on their blog. And they did a roundtable for football cards, and they held it with Sam Bradford, Dustin Keller, Cameron Jordan, and Daniel Thomas. Cameron Jordan and Daniel Thomas are two rookies that were drafted this year. And of course, we all know who the mighty Sam Bradford was. It was Bradford Mania last year, Bradford and Tebow Mania, I should call it. So they held a little round table to get some ideas. It was kind of classy of Panini. They showed them all products from last year, ranging from Prestige all the way up to National Treasures, and they kind of did it as a timeline. So they explained it to these guys that, you know, first we come out with Prestige that shows you guys, you know, coming out of college and, you know, whoop-de-whoop, and then the next products like Elite show you in your NFL uniforms, and then all the way up to National Treasures where they have the rookie patch autos. So they gave them kind of a timeline. They let them open some packs. They got some input from the players. They asked each player what their favorite card was growing up, like who did they collect, what did they do as kids. Bradford actually collected Cordell Stewart cards, which a lot of you guys may be going, who the Cordell Stewart? He was a multifaceted quarterback known as Slash. His card nowadays, probably in the common section. You might find it on coffee tables where you put your beer. You put it. It's a, you know, otherwise known as a beer coaster. Probably not worth anything. I don't know. Maybe a low-numbered relic auto might be worth something. But Cordell Stewart did have a lot of hype back then, so I could see where Sammy Brad's coming from. Cordell Stewart was a quarterback. He's also known that he could punt, kick, receive, run, sell hot dogs, flip burgers, and he did it all in the stadium. He's probably flipping hot dogs and burgers now, so, you know, trying to put his, you know, pay his pension and medical bills or something. But Sam Bradford, Keller actually said that he collected Dream Team cards, so he's a big basketball guy, so that was kind of interesting. He said Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson cards is the guys that he was interested in when he was a kid. And then they also asked him if they could be on a card or meet a player in the NFL, who would they pick? Keller selected Tony Gonzalez, which, you know, he obviously wants to be like Tony Gonzalez. Who wouldn't? Who's pretty much the top receiver. He's broken a lot of the records for receivers. So Tony Gonzalez is the man. I'd like to see a Dustin Keller, Tony Gon dual auto. That'd be pretty dope. They might already have it. You know, who knows? Bradford said he looks up to Aikman. He'd love to be on a card with Aikman, which I believe he is on Triple Threads. Last year's Triple Threads, I think they have a Aikman-Bradford duel, but obviously he wears number 8, so modeled his career. I was hoping for Steve Young being a Niner guy, but when the words Troy Aikman came out of his mouth, I was a little more disappointed in Sam Bradford, but he's a good quarterback. Also, Cameron Jordan said he'd like to be on a card with his pops. Now, if you don't know who his pops is, Steve Jordan, he was a tight end for the Vikings back in the day, so he'd like to be on a card with his dad. I thought that was a pretty cool tribute, right, just in time for Father's Day. Maybe they can make a Father's Day edition of, you know, Cameron Jordan, Steve Jordan, best of the Jordans or something. And Daniel Thomas said that he's a big fan of Warwick Dunn, so, you know, a little Warwick Dunn, Daniel Thomas duel. So that was pretty cool. One thing that was kind of cool, caught me off guard, was either Bradford was playing dumb or he had no idea. He was asking about the stickers. Because they showed him cards with his auto and the sticker. So he goes, oh, that's where all the stickers go. And I'm like, come on, dude. Do you think they just put them on envelopes or something? You're signing autos for a card company. But, you know, these guys have more important things to do than sign baseball cards. I mean, all the money those guys make, they got other appointments to be at. You know, that's just signing. He might even have somebody else sign for him. Who knows, you know. But it was pretty cool. Classy move by Panini. They asked a lot of things like, how can we improve the cards? And most of the response was the game use stuff. And Cameron Jordan actually said that he'd like the holographic cards to come back. He really liked those as a kid back in the day to get something real shiny. A lot of companies, as we know, as card collectors, you know, shiny means good usually. You see a shiny card coming out of the pack and it's something, right? So, pretty cool. In other news, this is just word on the street that Michael Eisner, who owns Topps, is accepting offers for Topps. So before you go up in arms that there's not going to be any Topps, it's kind of a rumor right now. If you didn't know, Disney owns Topps. They bought Topps in 2007 for $385 million. A little bit of chump change, you know. Disney also, Topps also owns Bazooka Joe Bubblegum and Ring Pops. So, you know, that thing that was on your finger as a little kid, you know, Topps product now, if you didn't know that. But, you know, kind of be interesting. What do you guys think? Well, you know, what do we think that Topps is going to sell for these days? $600 million, $700 million, maybe push a billion? I don't know. I think they're worth a lot. I think the problem with the card industry these days is there's not enough advertising going on. We as consumers will spend a lot of money on hobby products, you know. Takes up, you know, you want to collect, you buy all the new products. I don't think they advertise enough. I think if they actually got some ads on ESPN or, you know, any of these sports networks, I think it would take off because a lot of people don't know what cards are about, especially people in my age group that grew up in the 80s. 80s cards were a dime a dozen and, you know, there wasn't anything special about them. There's a few inserts here and there. There was none of this numbered stuff, game use stuff, autos. I show my friends who don't collect cards what I do. And they're pretty blown away. They're like a 101 Reebok patch auto. I mean, that's way different from the 87 Fleer Barry Bonds that they have in their prized possession. So, you know, if they target ads right, it could just be me. I mean, I don't know. I'm just Joe talking on a podcast. But, you know, if they advertise the product right, Topps could be worth a lot more than it is. It's already worth a lot. I mean, these products sell pretty well. Maybe they don't want to muddy up the hobby. Maybe they want to keep a select group of people, but... You know, I don't really ever see people in Target buying cards, so they do have the retail section. Retail's not the big draw, but I just think if you advertise right, people that don't know about cards are getting involved. So maybe drive up the value of cards when there's that many people collecting. I don't know. Topps also, speaking of Topps, is unveiling a 2011 Topps Heritage Minor League Edition. So it's gonna use the same format as the 1962 set. So Bryce Harper Mania again. So they're Bryce Harper autographs and his first professional non one of one game used relics cards. So those are going to be out around September. You know, Strasburg Mania last year, it's kind of glimpses of what's going on this year with Harper. They're kind of trying to shove them in all as many products as they can. You know, in the earlier podcast, me and Dan Rage predicted what Bowman would go up to, and I'm going to say we're a little wrong because Bowman is still available right now. We'll see. I think the difference between Bowman this year and Bowman last year is Strasburg got called up. Harper hasn't. So that's the big difference. But they're throwing him in a bunch of different products. It'd be interesting to see if they throw him in Ginter. They probably already have. Maybe I haven't read the right information. They're going to try to get him in as many things as possible. You know, and why not, right? I mean, they're in it to make money, and everybody wants to buy Harper. I mean, you can see his base cards selling for $8, $9, and his chrome cards selling for $15 to $20, and some of his numbered autos selling for thousands of dollars. So why not capitalize on the Harper movement? So another thing that I thought was interesting is I was scouring eBay, and I don't know if you guys collect 2011 Topps Diamond cards. I think they're pretty cool. I got a Jared Weaver die cut, which I was pretty excited because people sell those on like eBay for $11 and $12. It definitely beats the old cards that you get that are all beat up. I actually sent them in from last year, from 2010, the Topps Million Card Giveaway. And the cards I got back were, like, absolutely ungradable. So I don't know if you guys have had the same experience. I had some cards from the 50s and the 60s that I was stoked to get. They're, like, no-name guys, right? But I'm like, they're old cards, you know, I should get them shipped to me. And I get them, and they're just freaking battered and beat and, like, the worst centering possible. It's almost like they just, they had a line, and they had people, you know, in the 50s, and they pulled these cards off the line because they were so badly centered they couldn't put them in packs. So bring them out the vault, you know, all the rejects from those years, bring them out the vault and let's put them in the packs and redemptions and things like that. I don't know. Maybe I just got unlucky. Maybe there are some good cards out there, but they're doing the diamond cards, which this year is kind of the same thing as the million card giveaway, but they have a little bit better inserts this year. I do like the promo. It's always pretty exciting to get one of those cards. So, but noticed if you guys are familiar with the program, there's 60 virtual rings that you can dig up after you redeem your card. So you want to collect, and to get all 60 of them, you get a Topps 60th anniversary real ring shipped to you. So, you know, at first glance, I was like, oh, it's easy. I'll just, you know, get 60 of these cards. That's like $120. What kind of ring could it possibly be? Well, what they did is they made a couple other rings really, really rare. And how they did that was they made the Mickey Mantle card, like, they only made like 20 Mickey Mantle rings. So they're extremely hard to get when it comes to digging up those virtual rings. I was blown away that actually people are selling virtual rings on eBay. It was like, it's kind of like virtual wedding, right? You know, I don't know. It's just crazy that people are selling these virtual rings. Somebody had a Mantle on there, and I didn't even catch it before it ended. I think there was like a day left, and it was up to $800 for a picture of a ring. Now, I know why, because it gets you, you know, it's like the last ring you need to get the top 60th anniversary ring. So I understand why the value is in that, but it just, it's like, here, I'm going to give you $900, and you're going to give me a picture of a Mantle ring. It just, I don't even know if that falls within the eBay policy, you know, you're not even actually getting something in return when you give somebody money. And how people are pulling it off, because you really can't sell the rings, but you can trade the rings. So what they're doing is they're putting the listing up and they're selling it, but when you win it, you have to trade them one of your lesser rings. So if you have a double of a, you know, New York Mets virtual ring, you would trade them to get the Mantle ring. I guess that's how that works. That's what they're doing, at least. So, you know, there's like all 30 teams, and then I think there's 30 players, and that makes the 60 rings, and that's how you get the Topps ring. So I thought it was really interesting to see people selling virtual rings. Maybe I can sell a virtual podcast. I don't know. Maybe a one-of-one virtual podcast. And fresh off the press, if you guys haven't heard, the Strasburg 2010 Bowman Superfractor was pulled again. It was pulled once, it was sold twice, and it was inserted into a rookie Razor Retro Series. So if you're not familiar with that product, basically what they did, Razor, who's now Leaf, went out and bought a bunch of rookie cards. You know, anywhere from like a 1955 Willie McCovey or whatever, Willie Mays, up into a, you know, 89 Ken Griffey. And they also bought the Strasburg Superfractor, and that was the chase card in the set. And they were all graded, so it was like one card, and it was like $200 or something. It was a crazy price. So the series has been out for a while, but it hadn't been pulled yet. And then some guy right down the road, about 40 miles away from where I'm at now, went into Peninsula Sports Card, shout out, and bought a case, and on his second box, pulled the Steven Strasburg Superfractor 1/1. He probably crapped his pants. I would. I would probably run out naked and just streak yelling Strasburg up and down the El Camino there, which is a busy street if you're not from California, and just... people would be think I'm nuts. I'm holding a baseball card in my hand. Can't be worth that much. And I'd be like, $21,000, bitches. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm a little more conservative. But you could imagine, you know, that would be it's the holy grail of cards right now, you know, especially out of that set. So want to see how much it sells for. Hit me up on Facebook. You know, if you listen to this podcast, what would you pay for it? The guy's not going to sell it, but whoever gets it probably will. What he's going to do, and I think this is a really cool move by him, he's a Giants fan, which we all know we're the best fans. He's going to actually raffle it off. So what he's going to do, and if you check out Beckett.com, they're going to give you the website. He's going to set up a website where he raffles it off. All the proceeds are going to go to the Brian Stowe Foundation. At least, actually, 30% is going to go to the Brian Stowe Foundation, who is the guy who was savagely beaten by a Dodger fan. 30% is going to go to a little league, 30% is going to go to another league, and I think he's going to do 10% to some softball league. So he's not profiting on this move at all. So really cool. The guy collects mostly vintage stuff, so there's a picture of him and his godson holding up the card, Giants fans to the max. They got the shirts and the Giants hats on. I posted it on our Facebook, so... props to him. It's really nice for him to do that and give back, you know, give back to the community. He happens to own a restaurant in San Mateo area, so he's probably not hurting for money. I mean, it'd be really hard for me, who's, you know, not got a whole lot of money, to not throw it up on eBay. But it's cool that he's doing it for a good charity, and props to him. So, all right, we're going to get right into the baseball rookie report. And how we're going to do it, the format on this podcast is... first off, I'm going to talk about guys that are already up, the guys that are doing well this year, the guys that are early candidates for Rookie of the Year. We're going to break it down into two categories. I'm going to start with the pitchers, then we're going to go over the hitters, and then I'm going to finish it off by going over some of the minor league players and talking about some of the guys that haven't even been drafted yet that are kind of up on the board, thanks to BaseballAmerica.com. Hint, hint, plug. So, start off with pitchers. Zach Britton, so he's 5-3. Plays for Baltimore. He's got a 2.93 ERA. He's 38 strikeouts in 70 innings, so he's not blowing anybody away. But his walk total is 24, so not too bad. He's doing pretty well. So his cards have already jumped up, and he doesn't have a licensed card yet. So his cards are up to $60. I'd definitely sell if I had it, because not a strikeout guy. He's not a flashy guy, so, you know, he's got a 2.9. He's probably going to go higher. He's probably going to hit a rookie wall. You know, it's just my assumption. I've never pitched in the major leagues. I do slow pitch softball, so where I get knocked around slow pitch softball when I throw. But so I don't really know how that works. But you're going to hit that rookie wall. You're going to get some games where you get knocked around. And it's just how you develop as a young guy, as a veteran. You know, as your career goes on. But I would definitely sell him. Jeremy Hellickson is a guy I would collect right now. I would definitely buy his cards. You can get his rookie auto for around $12 to $19, and that's out of Bowman. 2011 Bowman has his on-card rookie auto. So $12 to $19 is a pretty good buy. He just pitched a complete game shutout on May 12th, so that was like two or three starts ago. So he's picking up some steam, and he is actually striking people out. So... he plays for Tampa Bay, if you didn't already know. He has 46 strikeouts in 64 innings. So 2.8, 6-3, got that complete game shutout. So it's looking pretty good. He already had some hype. And it's funny because his cards have actually dropped. His cards were worth more before the season. And he came out and he's doing as good as he's doing, but his cards seem to kind of level out, especially the 2011 Bowman. You can get him in Tops, his straight-up rookie card for really cheap. couple bucks, probably get the diamond, 60th anniversary card for, not the numbered one, but, the sparkly card they have. Not the sparkle card, but the variation for, like, $5. And he's in Topps Tribute as well. You can get a numbered card, numbered to 75 rookie relic auto for, like, 33. And those are nice-looking cards. We all know about Tribute. Those cards look really nice. So Jeremy Hellickson, a guy I say you should buy. Another guy's cards that have gone through the roof is Michael Pineda. His stats speak for themselves. He's got 63 Ks in 64 innings. He's 6-3 with a 2.4. You can only find his autos in as far as licensed autos in Bowman, and it's a retail version only, so it's a sticker auto, non-numbered, selling for 60. Wow, that's for a sticker retail auto. That's a pretty high price. So. Don't know if it's going to go up from there. I would sell now if you had it. If you happen to pull it in a retail pack, I would definitely throw it up on the bay for now. That's another guy's numbers who unbelievably, with a 2.4, throwing that hard, striking people out with that low of an ERA is pretty good right now. Don't think it's going to get lower. So I would sell Pineda right now. But if you can get a good deal on some Pineda cards, maybe for $30 or $40, I would buy it. But it looks like the market right now, as of the 2nd of June, is at least around $50, $60, and nothing less than that. So that kind of does it for the pitchers that are up and that are candidates for the Rookie of the Year right now. We're talking June 2nd. There's still a lot of the season left. As far as the hitters, there's really nobody that's standing out. Last year we had Hayward, Ike Davis, Castro. There's really nobody hitting, knocking the cover off the ball. Stat-wise, you got Darwin Barney, who second base for the Cubs. He's batting .303. Not a guy who's flashy, who's got a lot of power, but you can only get his autos in USA. It's a 2007 Upper Deck USA auto, and you can get that for around 12 to 21. So, guys that just hit for average don't tend to. Really drive the market. People like guys that hit a lot of home runs, but I think it's a guy you should buy, especially for that price. If he hits for average, he might be a staple on that Cubs team. It might go up in value. Another guy is Danny Espinosa. So he's a shortstop for Washington. He's got 10 home runs, and he's leading rookies with 33 RBIs. The card I think that's a good value for you to get with him is a 2011 Bowman Futures patch. So it's a patch, not an auto, but you can get it for like $3 or $4. He doesn't have anything licensed as far as an auto yet. So that would be a cool card to get. I actually like the design of the 2011 Futures, and they're pretty short printed. You don't get them one per box or anything. So it's a pretty cool card, and to get it for like $3 or $4 is definitely a good card to buy. So a shortstop with some power, 10 home runs already, 33 RBIs. If he keeps it up, he's definitely in line for Rookie of the Year. So another guy who's doing well is Mark Trumbo, but he's on the older side of the rookies. He's no spring chicken, but he's no Bull Durham either. So he plays for LA, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's a first baseman. He's got 10 home runs, 28 RBIs. He's batting .256. So he doesn't really have his autos are in elite as well, 2004, and they sell for around 13 to 20. So his cards have gone up a little bit. So Mark Trumbo, I don't know if I would necessarily invest just purely based on his age. The guy's been in the system for a little while, so maybe he figured it out. I could be wrong, but out of those guys, I would definitely buy Danny Espinosa, and I've been buying some Danny Espinosa's cards. All right, well, we're going to finish off this baseball segment by talking about prospects that are on the rise and going a little bit into, a little bit of into a mock draft of next year's baseball draft, so which some of these guys already have cards of. So going right into it, the guy I like is Matt Moore. He's in AA. He's in the Tampa Bay Rays system. He did really well in his last two starts. He struck out 20. He was 0.75 ERA. He's got a 2.2-1 strikeout to walk ratio, and he's really actually been climbing. His he had 11 in his last start against Jacksonville, so allowing 3 hits and 6 shutout innings. So the guy's pretty hot right now. You can get his cards in elite for $10 to $20. So you know, some people aren't fans of Elite, but I mean, we all seen how well that the Brandon Belt card did last year. So if you can catch these guys early, you know, you could have bought a Brandon Belt auto in Elite for, you know, $2-3 when it first came out. And look, some people were paying $100 to $200 for stuff that was like extremely high numbered last year, $700-$800 right before the season started. And he's gone down now because of his Topps cards came out, his Bowman cards. But, you know, that's Matt Moore. Another guy I really like who I just bought yesterday is Kyle Russell. I don't like the Dodgers, but I like Kyle Russell. And he's in their double-A system right now. And last week he was 12 for 24, four home runs, 11 RBIs. They're saying he's finding his stroke, got a lot of power. You can get his 2011 Bowman on card for $2 to $5. So I won one for $3 plus like $2.50 shipping yesterday. So I was pretty stoked. And you know, I don't really go over the value of number cards because it's really hard to determine that. So when I'm talking about cards, they're usually just the standard auto when I say prices, just to kind of clarify for you guys. So I like him. I also like Mark Cross, who's in the Diamondback system. He's batting .407 over the last 2 weeks, 11 for 27, three home runs, nine RBIs. He's been under the radar, but not. People were collecting his Elite cards, but you can get his 2010 Bowman Chrome card on card auto for about $8. So those are my three guys to get: Kyle Russell, Mark Cross, and Matt Moore. Not to be confused with the Matt Moore of the Panthers, because you don't want any of his cards, let's face it. We all know about Matt Moore and the Panthers, and it's not even worth a penny sleeve. So, but going into the draft, there's some names that we've seen some USA cards of next of for coming up in the 2011 draft. Number one, this is according to Baseball America. They have Anthony Rendon as number one. So, third baseman out of Rice. He's got five home runs, 33 RBIs, 11 stolen bases, .323 average. So, he's kind of an all-around guy. A lot of talk about him. Bubba Starling's another guy, and his cards have been crazy for a while now anyway. Francisco Lindor, George Springer, Blake Sweetheart, Colton Wong. These are all guys that are predicted to go in the first round next year, according to Baseball America. You can check it out on baseballamerica.com. They have their little cheat sheet, their little final mock draft. So those are guys that you might want to invest in. Obviously, they're only in USA cards, but you know, we all see what happened to Bryce Harper. His USA card skyrocketed, and it's still worth more than his Bowman card. So people love those USA cards, and they seem to hold their value. Now, before I end this segment, kind of wanted to talk about my tips of the trade as far as selling on eBay, because I buy and sell a lot on eBay, and I've learned the best way to sell a card is not to list it at 99 cents. There are certain instances where it is good. Like if you pulled a Bryce Harper, you build a lot of interest by starting it at 99 cents and letting it run for 5 days. You'll get your money in 5 days, but you know, a card like Bryce Harper will definitely pay off. But if you got, you know, like a Cal Ripken Jr., you know, like a 1 out of 10 jersey auto, and you're thinking to yourself, I want, you know, $200 for it. Starting at 99 cents is not going to get you $200. It's going to get you 70. So what I would do, and it takes a little patience, is let the card sit up there on buy it now for 30 days and just take offers. Just be patient. There, you're going to find a collector that wants it, that's going to pay what you want to get paid for it. By letting it start at 99 cents, you don't normally get the value that you possibly can out of it. So if you're a type of person that wants to buy and sell, not a whole lot of money in cards unless you just get really lucky all the time. But, you know, if you want to support your habit, you know, buy the auctions that end at start at 99 cents and then put them up there as a buy it now. It's a good way to make a few bucks, you know, maybe buy the hobby box that's coming out. Maybe sell buy and sell five or six cards, you know. So, you know, just catching those deals. Sometimes I look at night, like some people screw up and they have their listings end at like 2 in the morning. That's a good way to find some cool cards that you know, people may have forgot about. That's a good way to get a good deal. I just missed out on a Jamal Charles 1 of 1 plates and patches auto. It somebody won it for like $37 or something, and it's like a 3-color patch, so it was a steal, and I missed out on it. But it ended at like 2 a.m. So I wish I would have put like a $70 bid on it, because I probably could have sold the card for over $100, being that it was a 1 of 1, and Jamal Charles is going to be really good next year. So that's the way to make some money, is just hold firm on your price. You know, you want 150 for it, put it at like 199, best offer. You know, somebody might offer you 150 and you'll sell it. Starting at 99 cents, probably not going to get you what you want. All right, well, we're about to get into this next song.
Mind you, what's
Well, that was a jammy jam. That's what we call in the music industry, a jammy jam. And that was Brand New Sin with My Loved Ones. Man, that's so much groove. Check them out. Look up Brand New Sin. Buy their new album, Distilled.
Playoffs?
Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game. Another game.
All right, so we're going to go right into our NFL segment where we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about early Super Bowl picks, sleepers and breakouts, as well as the overrated, underrated. So we got a little roundtable here, similar to what we talked about earlier with the Panini roundtable. We got our own panel of judges, experts. I'm Doug Fresh, of course, and I'm a five-time champ 49er fan.
And I'm Marquez, representing the Panthers. Go Carolina.
The Carolina Panthers bringing the pain.
I didn't know Doug personally was responsible for winning five Super Bowl rings, but I'm a St. Louis Rams fan. My name is Danimal Rage.
And he loves to ram it.
We're going to pretend like there is no lockout. So,
no L word.
No L word.
No L word.
Just erase it. Pretend like it didn't happen.
So, anything starts with the letter L gets smashed.
Drink yourself retarded so that you don't remember the lockout.
Because we're drinking.
Yep. Here we go. So, let's start with Dan Rage here. Who's your early Super Bowl pick?
My early Super Bowl pick is going to be the Hotlanta Falcons playing in Hotlanta. With that that stud receiver they got in the first round, was it Julio Jones?
Julio Jones.
Julio. And Rod White on the other side.
It's a duo.
Got
really.
Burner Turner and Matt Ryan.
That's kind of
that is my stone cold lock.
Those two receivers.
Stone cold, really.
Stone cold.
Stone cold.
That's kinda like a duo similar to Chris Cross back in the day, both being from Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Julio Jones and Roddy White.
Julio Jones.
I was like, Emilio.
Orange Julius.
So he hoards a lot of money, is that what you're saying?
Basically. No, I'm just, you know, crisscross. I just thought it was a good analogy.
What's your early Super Bowl?
We're actually going to go right to Mark because somebody in this room stole mine.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't pick the Rammsteins.
The Raminals. Mark's going to go with Carolina and their two quarterback offense.
No. It's going to take a couple years for that to work out.
Homer.
But mine. I think the pack's going to repeat, and it's going to be over the Chargers.
The who?
We let down the funky bunch.
The Chargers.
The San Diego Superchargers.
The San Diego Super.
So let me get this straight. You're going with the Packers.
Packers.
That's... You're just taking the biggest odds there. You're taking the highest odds.
It's a solid team. The coaching's still the same. They still got the same MVPs and the same icon players that they have on the team. You know, I mean, check my madness.
But I feel offensively, you can't be one-dimensional. And the Packers got lucky last year. They were one-dimensional. Who's running the rock for them?
Hey, they got the no-name three-headed trio. That's what they got.
The no-name three-headed trio.
Well, there's the guy that's on the injury report that's coming back next year, right?
You think Ryan Grant is a professional running back?
All of this will be solved in free agency once it starts in July.
But there's...
There's no L word here.
L word.
Exactly. I said free agency. I say free agency.
And who are they going to get in free agency? Who is this stud running back that's just dying,
that's available,
looking for a team?
Sitting on the couch.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Wedgie Bush?
Reggie could be a free agent. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the guy? Yeah, that's you're gonna hand the ball to him 30 times a game and say, "Hey, Reggie, don't break your ass."
He's only 45 years old.
He has a Heisman Trophy, even though you know he had to give it back, but still, he won it. Fair and square.
He's a good third down back.
Did you see him at the end of the season? Is he gonna be a wheelchair at the end of the season this year? Last six games?
I don't know, it depends what
do
Kim
does. Do they allow that in the
NFL?
Who else can they pick?
It depends what Kim does to him.
Who are they gonna get that hasn't been in the league for 10 years? I mean, they gonna pick up Thomas Jones? You think Thomas Jones got anything left in the tank? I think he's running close.
Better yet,
I know, you tell me. He's on your free.
We're going around.
Well, of course. And I said that when I got him last year, he was like a little bit under a quarter of a tank.
Better yet,
now he's running on empty.
Still work pretty good, though.
These guys are going down the jet train. Let's just go Curtis Martin.
Wow.
He's coming back. Yeah, I heard he's... No. Tiki Barber, he's coming back.
I mean, who are they going to... They're going to go out and get Liddell Betts?
How can you go wrong with a guy named Tiki?
Tiki?
Tiki.
Is Tiki coming back?
Apparently.
Is this from Mark right here?
Yes.
Because Mark has him... He has him on his speed dial.
Because Tiki says he's coming back. Doesn't matter what team he goes to, but I mean, still.
Well, I'm going to go...
Torrey Holt still said he's available, too.
Torrey Holt?
Big play, Holt, to you, sir.
Well, I'm going to go outside the box with my pick, and I'm going to go Detroit Lions.
Oh! Homer pick.
Homer pick. We're in San Jose Barry here. Well... I'm going to go with Detroit Lions. I think Nick Fairley's a beast. I think that Stafford's going to come back
and
help all year.
Yeah, Nick Fairley doesn't throw touchdowns, though.
Because you win championships on the D-line, right?
Absolutely. They're going to throw him back there. He's going to run the ball. He's going to be like William Refrigerator Perry. He's going to do everything.
Okay. First off, he has endurance issues, so he's only going to play about half the game. Half the snaps.
It's good enough for me.
And, you know, I'll give you this. Lions will probably make the playoffs if Stafford stays healthy. Because you can't throw out... Who do they have? They still have Kitna?
He's only played 13 games in 2 years.
I mean, we're talking players who've been in the league for a while. John Kitna.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was in the... I think I was like, 4 or 5 years old when he got drafted. I mean, I think they had leather helmets at that point.
The single bar.
Single bar. I didn't know if he was a. I didn't know if he was.
You couldn't tell if he was a kicker or a linebacker.
I couldn't tell if he was a kicker or a quarterback.
So all right, write that down. We'll see 8-9 months from now. We'll see who.
You want to take your pick back?
No, I'm gonna think outside the box. You know, because I can tell you ones.
I can tell you a lot of, like, you got the Chargers. You got the Steelers.
You got the Bears.
You got the Colts. You're going against.
I'm going outside the box.
You're going against Peyton Manning.
Who was the guy that bet on Mind That Bird for the race a couple years back? That was me. That was 50-1.
You and about 4 other people.
Exactly. So I'm going to take my money to Vegas, put $10 on the Lions, and it's going to be like 100-1, and I'm going to be rich. I don't know. Write that down. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
So we're going to get into the next segment. We're going to talk about sleepers and breakouts. I don't know if you guys have had some time to think about this, but... You know, starting from the right here, who do you think is going to be a sleeper? We're talking about offense. We're talking about running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks.
A sleeper pick. So it can be...
Like a breakout year, you know, a guy that maybe was under the radar last year that's going to be a big
contributor. Oh, well, Jamal Charles. I mean, give that guy...
Yeah, he's very under the radar.
Because 6.4 yards, 6.2 yards a carry.
But look how many carries he had. Give him the ball 25 times... That guy might break the all-time rushing record in a season. Not career, but season. Because it'd be really hard to get, like, all those yards, beat Emmitt Smith in one season. That'd be a hell of a season.
That would be. I'm a big fan of Jamal Charles, and as far as fantasy is going, he's my first-round running back if I can grab him. It depends on how early I'd have to grab him. But I see Jamal Charles. I don't know if I consider him a breakout, but I see your point.
Okay. I feel you. Maybe not a breakout. 6.5 yards a carry. Pretty good. How about Sean Green? Will be my that's
a
the guy.
Pick.
That's a guy I think whoever is running the ball for the Jets, is it still Thomas Jones?
No, it's not Thomas. Thomas Jones is on the Chiefs, right?
Thomas Jones on the Jets, I think.
Or Thomas Jones is on the Chiefs.
He used to be on the Jets.
He used to be on the Jets, yes.
Just like Curtis Martin used to be on the
Jets. LaDainian was running the ball a little bit last year.
They got Joe McKnight. Sean Green, and for the draft, Mark Ingram.
Wow, that's a big shocker right there. Way to reach for that guy. How about the Browns second round pick, Greg Little, wide receiver?
Who?
Greg Little.
Any relation to Captain Leonard Little?
Maybe.
Could be.
Greg Little, UNC. He was one of the guys that got barred last year because he was messing with agents or some shit like that.
Oh, he's got his head on straight and has his priorities set and ready to go.
As long as he catches the ball, baby. Catches the ball and has the nose for the end zone.
That's
Biggity Bam.
That's my lick. I say nose for the end zone.
That is, he was quoted in podcast number one on that.
Yeah.
I want to see the copyright first.
Oh, wow.
I'll get my lawyer on
just,
it.
I don't come to your work and slap the dicks out of your mouth.
With that being said, I'm going to go with the guy, a local guy, actually. I'm going to go with James Jones as my breakout. As we get over the slapping the phallic instrument out of somebody's mouth. I'm going to go with James Jones.
Homer
pick. Actually, Packer guy. He's I think it's his breakout year because he's got the big play capabilities, a deep threat. Last year, he did have problems with holding on to the ball, I think is important when you're a receiver.
What is he on the depth chart? Four?
No, he's third. He's third.
Over Jordy?
He is. You know, really? Wide receivers don't do well in the NFL.
Oh, they always do good in the slot.
They got kind of a wide receiver tandem like they do with the Colts, where they just kind of interchange everybody. Everyone can catch them.
Oh, bring up another team that has a white receiver as well.
But what
James
Green
Jones is black.
No, I was talking
he's about Jordy Nelson.
I'm talking Jordy Nelson.
But talking about James Jones, I think the Packers have – Mike McCarthy has came out and said that they're going to expand his role because he is a big play receiver, and they do like those 50-yard, 60-yard plays.
Well,
so.
he was 5 years ago. I mean, he's getting old now.
No, he's not that old. He was drafted in 2007. So
who else went to San Jose State since we're talking about Homer picks?
Who played in the NFL or played?
Who plays right now?
San Jose State? I don't know.
Dwight Lowry from the Fighting J-E-T-S, Jets.
We need crickets right now.
There's a crickets. I know a defensive tackle from San Jose State that got drafted by the Bears a couple years ago. I don't remember his name.
I got another
They
one.
Had a YouTube video of him actually jumping out from the bottom of the pool to the top.
Which guy are we talking about?
Is a defense tackle.
Not Madison Hedgecock. Another.
Was it DeBrickashaw?
Another San Jose State alumni.
DeBrickashaw.
DeBrickashaw.
I love DeBrickashaw.
DeBrickashaw.
I'm gonna name my third kid DeBrickashaw.
You so wonder if he comes from a line of like bricklayers, guys in the 1900s, early 1900s.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know. You can take that for however you want, but maybe that's how they make a good defensive tackle. Is you got a line of bricklayers and you got the DeBrickashaw.
Mm.
You know,
talking about crickets, huh?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's how you bring it back around, right?
The DeBrickashaw.
So DeBrickashaw. We got James Jones. Mark picked
Greg Little,
and Jonathan Stewart.
Jonathan
Stewart. Oh yeah.
Wow. Slinkers. Who's blocking for him?
Everybody.
and nobody.
More crickets.
Everybody and nobody.
Two Pro Bowl offensive linemen.
You guys had offensive linemen who made it to the Pro Bowl?
Absolutely. Steve Jackson can't block everybody.
Let's ask Matty Moore and Jimmy Clausen about that.
That's fine. You could ask them.
Because they were running.
on their back. Like a cheap pool.
It's Pro Bowl still. Can't deny it.
So, I mean, that pretty much covers what our take is. Going to the over and underrated segment. I'm going to throw a few names out there, and I want to hear you guys' opinion. So we're going to go with Namakom Sue. Overrated or underrated?
Is it up to me?
Since I'm going to start it off.
Since he's pretty much not only a badass, absolute beast of a man, and he's also the backup kicker. I got to say, underrated.
Underrated?
Underrated.
Underrated.
He's
okay.
Underrated. Backup kicker, dude.
He's multi-talented. Call him Slash.
I definitely say he's... I think from the general perspective of where fans think of him and whatnot, I think he's right where he's supposed to be. He is the up-and-coming superstar in the NFL.
He is. I mean, he's kind of put defensive guys back on the map. He's made it kind of cool to be a defensive guy. Teamed up with Nick Fairley next year. Gonna be a
hell wow. I think
it's like a tornado.
I think you have a crush on Nick Fairley.
Yeah, I'm set definitely name, sensing you know? A Nick Fairley crush going on.
I mean, he's a stud, like the way DeMarco Farr was a stud.
Crickets. I'm gonna get that sound effect in here. Chirp. What about the Manning brothers? Overrated, underrated? Do them
mouth
separately.
Mouth breathing dummy.
Mouth breathing dummy. Draft you to seventh round just because of your name. Mouth breathing dummy.
Little lead shout out there.
Oh, yeah.
I personally think they're both underrated.
Both?
Both overrated, I should say.
How can Peyton Manning be underrated?
No, I think Peyton Manning is extremely overrated.
There's no way in hell you can block them two together and say they're the exact same person. No way.
No, I didn't
Peyton
say
Manning is definitely underrated as far as the general on. Well, his perception is he's the general on field.
What do you?
Eli Manning is definitely overrated, though.
Okay,
overrated in their own way. Obviously, Peyton Manning has got the better genes out of the two, but they're both overrated in their own right. I think people praise Peyton Manning like he's the best quarterback in the NFL. When the guy's been, how many playoff games has he lost? That's my thing. When it counts, when the game is on the line, Peyton Manning does not excel.
This is coming from a guy.
How many Super Bowls did he go?
It's come from a guy who has.
He won one.
He won one.
It's come from a guy who has, for the last 5 years, watched Alex Smith play, and I don't understand it. They're not a quarterback who's ever been able to like control a game like Peyton Manning. I mean, the guy like literally calls the plays, audibles every down. I mean,
old school
style. Who can do that? Nobody.
School where the quarterback called the plays in the huddle.
So I say, Peyton Manning, absolutely underrated. He's a game changer.
Absolutely.
Eli Manning, absolutely overrated. The guy has won a Super Bowl. I know they both have a Super Bowl ring, but was that Super Bowl won by Eli Manning, or was it won by David Tyree? And where is he at?
Yeah.
And that defense, don't get you wrong, on the Giants' defense that year was pretty killer.
Peyton Manning makes that team better in general just because of his presence. Because all those wide receivers would be no-name wide receivers without Peyton Manning because he works their ass off. Well, and he is a model of consistency, especially when you go to fantasy drafts or whatever. He is model of consistency with his numbers and consistency and percentages, and that's why he's always a first-round pick.
Take his first year out of the equation, he has probably the highest quarterback rating and the most victories in the regular season.
Absolutely.
What wins playoff games is not just a quarterback. It's a full team.
Yeah.
And he has actually made that team overachieve for the last 10 to 12 years.
And you know the only time he didn't make the playoffs? His rookie season. When they were 3-13.
But how many times has he lost in the playoffs?
Where
that's
Ryan
my
Leaf,
thing.
But he
from
still
a,
makes
from
it.
A stat from a stat standpoint, yeah, Ryan Leaf it, actually had a better year.
Only
his
six,
rookie season.
Only six teams out of 16 teams in each conference make the playoffs.
Yeah, but would you just want to get to the dance? Would you want to just get to the dance every time, but not dance?
Hey, at least
that's the thing.
At least you're good enough to dance.
So that's like saying, well, Philip Rivers has been actually has a better winning percentage than Peyton Manning. So that's you're trying that. That's
where'd
like
you
saying,
get that
hey,
from?
That's just stats that are known.
I don't. Philip Rivers. I think you're flat wrong.
Honestly,
I think you're at. Did you do you understand that? I think they only won 8 games last year. The Chargers.
The years before they've had a couple 14-2
seasons. No, I think they won 8. And explain. Tell me the last time Peyton Manning was on an 8-8 team.
Last year's team was pretty bad. They weren't 8-8 by any means, but last year was the year that you could see that he. I mean, Reggie Wayne's getting a little old. He had some banged up receivers.
But look what he does to all these no name receivers. He makes it Pierre Garçon. Put Pierre Garçon on
any other team.
Seattle. Put Austin Colley on the fucking Ravens. That'd probably be pretty good. Ravens GM, go pick up Austin Colley. Him and Bolden.
Sick. But look, he was missing Dallas Clark. He had injuries.
Look what he did to that Tammy guy.
Tam?
Yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't half the guy that Dallas
fantasy
Clark
stud.
Yeah, not, but, no. He had two good fantasy
stuff. Peyton Manning makes everybody an all pro. Yeah. Like, you get on his team and you're just like,
yeah, I don't agree.
Oh, look, I'm good at football now, but I suck my whole life. Thank you, Peyton Manning.
Yeah. I mean, Marvin Harrison, as far as career statistics, probably ranks in the top 5 of receivers of all time.
And he's
been paired up with Manning for a lot of Manning's career. So, I mean, the majority of Manning's career has been with Marvin Harrison.
You know it's crazy, not to change the subject, but Peyton Manning is actually, like 2 or 3 years away from, like, retirement age.
Peyton made Marvin. Marvin didn't make Peyton.
They got drafted the same year.
Peyton made Marvin.
So Montana made Rice.
Yeah.
Now, a good receiver.
Now, since we're talking overrated, this is fucking Joe Montana.
We're talking about guys that are still playing. So,
okay, because you want overrated.
That's overrated.
So I
hit
you know,
a soft spot there. Soft spot.
I don't know. I mean, the only he won a Super Bowl, but who was he playing against? Kyle Orton and the Bears? How hard was that for anybody that's got a decent team?
They made it.
They made
the
it.
NFC,
yeah,
the NFC was weak that year, I guess.
Dude, hey, who knew that Ryan Reynolds could play football?
But that's the only. If
Kyle Orton looks like Ryan Reynolds.
If they played any team with a halfway decent quarterback, he does. Different story. They play
Van
any
Wilder's
team with
a, hell of a
any team with a halfway decent quarterback.
You're saying Ryan Reynolds looks like Neckbeard?
Neckbeard? Who has Neckbeard?
That's Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton had a mustache at one name. Point.
So now that we're in agreement that you guys both like the schlong of Peyton Manning, we are going to move
who
on
doesn't?
To
well, you know,
to Michael Vick.
But we're coming from a guy who I don't think you can evaluate quarterbacks, Alex Smith.
Have you been to the Niners training camp the last couple of years?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm
you
not
wanted, you were crying for Nate Davis.
Alex Smith sucks. I mean,
TJ O'Sullivan.
He doesn't even make
better.
It in the overrated, underrated conversation. That's not even in the conversation.
We should, though. Alex Smith, overrated or underrated?
No, it would probably be how much does he suck, is that's what it should be.
TJ O'Sullivan looked way better in both, than both those guys before in the training camp.
TJ,
JT O'Sullivan.
What is this beer?
I think he's Irish.
This section is brought to you by George Killen's Irish Red.
Well, we're looking for sponsors, but they didn't pay us, so I'm going to bleep that out next time.
Give me my money.
So Michael Vick, money. Michael Vick, guys. Michael Vick. Overrated, underrated Michael Vick.
Michael, not Marcus Vick.
No.
Because he would be underrated.
As a wide receiver?
He didn't get a chance. He didn't get a chance.
They converted wide receiver in the Miami Dolphins that he didn't make training camp.
He didn't get a chance.
He didn't.
He didn't get a chance. Now you're mad.
Not mad.
Okay, Michael Vick. Overrated. Absolutely 100% overrated.
That's tough.
And that's the flat truth right there. That's what I speak.
What's your reason?
My reason is...
Tell me your reason.
Okay, what did he do with Atlanta? They led the league in rushing the whole time he was there. But
he broke the record for most rushing yards as a quarterback.
Yeah,
this season.
And how many playoff games did they win? Two playoff games.
He had
like one of the worst like quarterback ratings every year. So I would say, and that was when like he was young. And I think you put him on the Eagles. Cobb would have had the same record last year with the Eagles. The Eagles have a stacked team. You got McCoy, you got Deshaun, you got Jeremy Maclin. Take Vic out and you put Cobb and they might have won the Super Bowl.
I'm pretty sure
I just said that. Vic actually lost them a Super Bowl.
Well, I'm pretty sure Cobb played three games last year and he lost two out of the three.
And the Niners
almost beat him. We all know how bad the Niners were last year.
Okay. Who were they playing besides, they beat the Niners, right?
Barely.
They beat the Niners?
Like the last play.
Who was quarterbacking for the Niners?
Well,
you know,
we have to go there.
You know who their real underrated player on the Eagles is?
Here we go. Mark's going to be like, Brent Celek, the tight end. You got it.
No.
The cagey white tight end.
Defensive coordinator Tressman. Their new defensive coordinator,
Mark
who
Tressman.
Used to be their offensive lineman.
He used to be offensive coordinator for the offensive.
Dude, Mark,
he's
an
offensive line coach.
You're batshit crazy. I think you're hammered. Yeah. Are you really? We're talking players in the NFL. I don't want no coaches.
So, but what do you think about Vic? I mean, do you think he's overrated or underrated to get back on top?
Oh, God.
Just say it. Say it because you know it feels good. How long?
He makes the team better.
Overrated.
Unfortunately. I hate to say it, but he does make the team better because he's always a threat, whether throwing or running. And because of Andy Reid, that's the only reason why he's actually a threat, because of Andy Reid, because he taught him actually how to throw, where
he's a threat.
Like, he didn't know how to move his arm forward before
exactly.
Andy Reid?
No, obviously, because he didn't know what team he had to throw to either when he was on Atlanta.
He knew how to throw it far.
No,
really far. Like, over the wide receiver's heads.
But did he teach him how to fumble? Because he knows how to do that, too. How many times does Michael Vick run and fumble the ball? A lot.
He
went to the same school of carrying the ball as.
Well, he
kind of
he holds it with
can
like
I quote
three
you saying
fingers.
A lot.
I'm gonna say underrated here. Just because
he's on your fantasy team.
Well, I do love me some Michael Vick on my fantasy.
You're welcome.
Team. Yeah, you know. Hit the free agent pool, traded Aaron Rodgers.
God damn it.
Rode with Vic the rest of the season.
You know what?
The rest is history.
I change it. Overrated. Just because he ended up doing better than Kevin Cobb after I let him go because I was keeping Kevin Cobb.
He is absolutely overrated.
Absolutely.
Come on, guys. It's a feel-good story of the year.
Are you throwing the sympathy card out on Michael Vick? He went to prison.
Pit bulls, you know. I mean, he fought pit bulls, you know, which is a bad thing.
Him personally?
Yes.
He's a Spartan?
Well, shit, man.
Fist to teeth, you know. He just punched
him
in the mouth.
I mean, maybe I'll rethink it. If he's fighting pit bulls, I kind of feel bad for the guy.
But, you know,
I don't.
He cleaned himself up.
If he's dumbass enough to do it, that is his own damn fault.
He cleaned himself up. He did a lot of thinking in prison.
In prison.
I bet he had a lot of showers in prison.
He came out.
But he had very little showers in prison.
He looks like a changed man. You know, he doesn't have any dogs anymore, and you know, he's not blowing his money on stupid stuff.
Who say he doesn't have dogs?
Not getting caught with weed anymore. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's donating. You know,
he's got no choice because his PO officer is gonna fucking.
You know,
rip
I'm waiting for him to come out with a card and sign it. Ron Mexico.
That would be sick.
How many Raw Mexico jerseys out there in Philadelphia? Send us a message and let us know.
There's probably a lot of them in Atlanta now.
There's a lot in Atlanta, but I wonder how many are actually in Philadelphia.
You know, the hell with my. You know, Michael Vick really screwed Atlanta. How about the sympathy card for the whole fine.
He screwed Atlanta specifically because he was the number one overall pick in it, and number one overall pick should be at your team. Until he retires.
And they should be a model citizen.
Model. Just like Cam Newton.
All right, the last guy.
City of Miami.
The last guy is going to separate us again. I feel like I'm going to be set on the other side of this one as well, but I'm gonna pull it out anyway. Michael Crabtree.
Who?
Wow.
Who's Michael Crabtree?
And not the guy from Green Bay.
I was going to say, I was going to go, that guy's actually had a better career so far.
Isn't that an STD? Crabtree?
Wow, Michael Crabtree. Who's starting? You start. This is embarrassing. I can't believe you're actually bringing up this guy. Who's throwing the ball to him? Back to Alex Smith again.
You're just doing this for material, aren't you?
Michael Crabtree.
Michael Crab.
Okay. On a good team, he's a good number three.
I don't know.
On the Niners, he's a number two. So who's number one? Josh Morgan? I mean, Michael Crabtree is... Coming out of college, issues. Personality issues. Any guy who has to call an MC Hammer to negotiate your contract, done with him.
Can't touch this.
Anyone who tells their head coach straight up after they pick him in the draft says, Coach, I really am into fashion. I want to design my own fashion. That's my goal. Not football play.
Yeah, I mean... It's really tough because obviously I'm a Niner fan.
Because apparently his priorities are skewed.
I'm going to say he's underrated for the simple fact that he's got a lot of talent and his head's not on straight. But he is a third-year receiver this year, which a lot of guys say that's where the threshold comes, where they figure it out. You know, I think if he gets his head on right and he has a decent quarterback, let's get rid of Alex Smith. I don't care who you throw in there. I think change is necessary in San Francisco. So that's why I'm going to say he's underrated. I think Jim Harbaugh gets him on the straight and narrow, and he has a 1,000-yard season this year.
Who's Jim Harbaugh?
So you consider him getting 1,000 yards a going in the right direction?
Correct.
And that would make him a number one. Now, the issue with that is he doesn't have the intangible skills that I feel would be a number one receiver. He's not fast. He doesn't have amazing hands.
He does have good hands.
He doesn't have I said amazing. He has good. And he has...
He's got a decent size to him.
Decent. He has all these decent attributes. Like...
It's his head. It's what he's got between his ears.
He's never going to be more than like an 81 in Madden.
And who says he's going to be a 1,000-yarder?
Who's gonna
throw to him?
They have to throw 1,000 yards total.
Well, I'm just saying the blocks got to fall into place. I mean, you know, with the Singletary era is over, which kind of carried over from the Nolan era where it was defense first. Now we got a guy that's offensive minded. I think that the Niners,
you know,
or offense is going to get a boost this year, so we'll see.
You know, maybe if Jim Harbaugh actually came out of retirement and threw it to him, maybe he might get 1,000 yards.
It's probably just probably the Crabtree. Probably the best quarterback on the roster there.
If they get a guy like, let me just throw out one of my boys.
Random one.
Mark Bolger.
Who?
Boo. If you get Mark Bolger, throw him out there. If you block
the Ravens, the Ravens Mark Bolger?
If you block for Mark Bolger, the guy has been to like 3 Pro Bowls. That guy's a stud. He's an absolute stud.
Who?
Mark Bolger, man.
Crickets. Crickets.
Why you keep on saying who?
Isn't he
never
like,
watched a Pro Bowl?
He's 5'6". How does he get it over people's heads?
He's not 5'6".
Pretty sure he's 5'6".
I'm mad.
I thought he propped on Steven Jackson's shoulders just so he'd be able to throw.
Chris Winkie, dude.
I'm pretty
Why
sure.
Why you gonna bring in Chris Winkie?
I compare
Heisman Trophy winner Chris Winkie, 4th round draft pick.
Gino Toretta won a Heisman Trophy, too.
Who?
Yeah, he did. Exactly.
I compare Mark Bolger to George Seifert, and let me show you how this analogy works out for me. Because Bill Walsh built the dynasty, came in, and George Seifert got to reap all the benefits of winning the Super Bowl in 94, and in 89, for that matter. Now, Mark Bolger got to reap the benefits of what Kurt Warner did and what the legacy was built there with Marshall Faulk and everything. So he pretty much had a decent team around him, and that's how he was somewhat decent. So I don't even consider him. I consider him in the same category as a John Kitna.
How do you make 3 Pro Bowls and be somewhat decent?
Well, great cast around it.
Right. You got Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and Marshall Faulk. It's pretty easy to, you know,
well, you forgot, have a somewhat decent you forgot, season. There's a lot of guys you forgot. You forgot Dane Looker.
Ricky Prohl. You throw out Ricky Prohl there, too.
I love me some Rick Prohl.
The Rams always have a token white receiver on their team.
We don't
coaching
now.
For the Panthers.
Kevin Curtis.
We don't have him now.
Danny Amendola.
Do you know that?
Oh, we do. But he's so small, you miss him.
Amendola?
Sounds like a fruit company.
Yeah, exactly.
Fruit cup.
Yeah. That's probably, he's a little fruity bastard. Well, that's gonna end our roundtable discussion. As you can see, we're all experts here. We're about to get into our second song.
Sets his morals aren't so well defined. You hear again the rush begins, a line of joy and suicide. I can't find the words to say this. I'm running out of patience. At the corners of my eyes, I won't let them go this time. I'm here again. The rush begins, a line of joy and suicide. I can't find the words to say this. I'm running out of patience. Take, I think I've learned.
Have you ever heard a girl with pipes like that? Amazing. That's Picture Me Broken with Dearest I'm So Sorry. Check them out at picturemebroken.com. Great band. Redwood City, California. If you don't already know, mojobreak.com gives back. They do free contests. So the way to do it is join our Facebook, like us, and we'll enter you in. We got free contests every month. We just did a 2010 Bowman Platinum free group break, which was pretty sweet. And we also had a promotion where we gave out a free pack of a Bowman 2011 Jumbo when it was like nowhere to be found, and we shipped it to somebody. So we're always doing free stuff. Just like us on Facebook. Also, check out mojobreak.com for upcoming group breaks. We got a Top Series 2 coming up that's sold out. But the ones that aren't sold out, we got a Bowman Platinum. I think there's 4 slots left. It's 2011 Bowman Platinum. We're doing a whole case. So, you know, all the big names are in that one. Talion, Machado, of course, Bryce Harper, Steven Strasburg, anybody that you could think of is in that set. So you're going to want to get into that. So mojobreak.com to get more info. Hopefully you're not listening to this too late, and we've already filled the spots, but there's about 4 spots left in that. We got a Donruss Elite football coming up. We actually got 2 separate ones. One's already full, but it's a 12-box case break of Donruss Elite 2011 football, which is going to have Cam Newton autos and Mark Ingram autos. They weren't in the Prestige, but they're going to be in the Elite, so you join up on that. We're also going to be doing Inception when it comes out. Pretty much any football or baseball release that comes out, we're going to be doing a group break on. So keep checking back on mojobreak.com. Group breaks are a great way and a cheap and easy way to collect cards. So, you know, for a fraction of the cost, you can get your favorite player. And you can get their autos, their one-on-ones, their jersey pieces. Check it out. And add us on Facebook. We also got a Twitter. Tweet us. All right, to get right into our review segment, we're going to review 2011 Prestige Football, and we're also going to review 2011 Pro Debut Baseball. Both of these products just came out in the last week, being that it's June 2nd when I'm talking about this. I had the luxury of opening a full case of 2011 Prestige Football over the weekend, so I got the full wide array of all the products that are available in there, all the inserts and autos and patches and stuff. So I'm going to give you a pretty good review, I think. And as far as Pro Debut, I opened up a box yesterday and give you my take on that. So as far as the Prestige is concerned, you know, it's a nice product, and the people in our group break did pretty well. So there was a lot of hits, you know, 4 to 5 hits per box, which is nice. We did a 12-box case, so there was 48 hits. A lot of people bought multiple spots. Everybody did pretty well. No one did horrible. Some did better than others, of course. That's how it works out when you do a group break. But what I didn't like about the product was lack of numbering. Now, Panini came out with a short print list and stuff that they inserted 1 per box, which is cool. But there was a lot of patch stuff that had no numbers on it at all. We got a Sam Bradford rookie review auto, no number. You know, it's not, I mean, even if you number the thing to $3.99, it's cool to see the serial number. So, you know, I know they rushed the product out, you know, with all this stuff coming out, the NFL, I mean, the draft just happened, and they just, you know, basically pushed this product out as fast as they could. I think it's like a race on whoever can get through the door and get the crack to the crack fiend the fastest. And Panini, since they have the license, you know, Leaf obviously got all these guys to sign before the draft and put out their product, Leaf Metal. And they put it out with you know, college uniforms and stuff, and then Upper Deck's got their stuff. But Panini and Topps, so Panini's like, we're going to just beat Topps to the punch and put this product out. Well, I don't know. It's a lot of sticker auto. We only got like 3 on-card autos in the whole case. We got a AJ Green, which you can see on our Facebook. We got a Prince Amakamura. and I'm not exactly, I forget which was the last guy, but those were the only 3 on-card autos, and they're not numbered again. So, you know, maybe Panini's reasoning was that they had to push the product out so fast that they didn't number anything. They just had these guys sign things. We didn't get one of those helmet cards. So those must be extremely rare. But basically what they did is they had the guy sign on card and they left a blank helmet and they put the sticker after they got drafted. So we didn't get any of those. We did get an NFL equipment logo of, I think it was Randall Cobb. So that was pretty cool. Those are supposed to be like 1 per case, but it's not a game-worn NFL equipment tag, so it's just a patch, and that wasn't numbered. So the only things that were numbered were the rookie autos, and they were numbered to about like $5.99. I think we got 1 numbered to 99. That was a rookie Stanzi who happens to be a quarterback for the Chiefs, but We got like Von Miller, number to 599. And basically what it is, if you haven't seen the cards yet, it's just a picture of his helmet, and then they have the sticker on him below him, and with the team in the background. They have a few free agent guys too that I guess just didn't get drafted, so it's a free agent. So we had a little bit of trouble figuring out what team to go for, because we didn't have a free agent spot in our draft, but as far as for our group break. But overall, you know, if I had to grade it on an A through F scale, I'd give it a C. I'd say mediocre. I know people on the boards are really trashing it. The problem with it is they had Cam Newton on the sell sheet, and that's a big draw, obviously. Mr. First Round, first pick, you know, everybody wants him. And then all they do is they wind up having his base cards and they pull his auto. So kind of disappointing. It's kind of like they want to wait for the hype to build up and then release it. But you can't really put stuff on the sell sheet and then, you know, pull it off. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. If you promise something, deliver on it. So that was disappointing. We had somebody pick Carolina as like the second pick in our draft. So, I mean, I'm sure he was pretty bummed. He got a decent amount of short print, so he's going to make his money back. But it would be nice to get a chance to get a Cam Newton auto in a prestige. They also extremely short printed the Mark Ingram, so they held him out. So Panini's foresight is that Cam Newton and Mark Ingram are going to be the top two rookies. So they're holding them out, and they're putting them in elite. So, you know, like I'd say, mediocre. Give them credit for pushing it out so fast. The patches were lame, especially the NFL Stars patches. They were a little tiny piece, and there was no color in them. They were numbered to 250, all of them were, and we got like 15 of those. They were numbered to 250. Just the design of the card was kind of kiddish, in my opinion. So, and they also had Prestigious Pros, which actually those were better. They had some color in it. We got a Toby Gerhart, which had the lettering from his name. We had a we had a Beanie Wells. It was like a two color. So those are pretty cool. We got like 15 of those too. So it almost seems like you're bound to get an NFL Stars patch or a Prestigious Pros per box, at least one. We were getting about two autos on average, which is good. Panini only promises one auto per box. So to see two autos on average per box was pretty cool. But you got to remember, there's a lot of rookie autos in that series. So we don't know what these guys are going to do. There's fifth, sixth rounders that might be superstars by the end of the year. But we know who's big now, who has the hype now, and we know what's popular. All the first round guys, pretty much. Moving on to pro debut. Talk about another bait and switch. Just talked about Panini doing it. Word on the street, I opened a box and I didn't get all the checklists, so I can't confirm this, is pro debut, they pulled out, they had Manny Machado and Jameson Taillon autos on the sell sheet, and word on the street is they pulled them. Those are two really big guys in that set to pull them. So left people a little bit disappointed. We do have a break going on for it. But to review the product, there's four hits per box, and it retails around, I think it's around 80, so it's a good value for what you get. Now, the format is the same format of Tops, so it's of 2011 Tops, that is, but instead of having a team, it has their minor league team logo. Pretty cool, though. They do have a Bryce Harper base card, which has gotten some notoriety. I actually got one in my box, and I'm keeping it, PCing it for a little while, who knows. My hits, I got a Brandon Belt, which I'm a big Giants fan. I got a Brandon Belt jersey relic piece. I got a Mike Moustakas jersey relic piece. I got a Jesse Biddle auto, and I think it's a Chris McAllister auto. I could be wrong about my second auto, but it was just a guy I hadn't heard of, so that's why I'm not remembering his name. But overall, I think bang for the buck, it's cool. I got a lot of number to 309 cards. I got one number to 50, and this is all in a box. So I think it's going to be a really fun break for us. Obviously, the big chase card in this, if you haven't seen, is the one of one Bryce Harper cut auto. It's a cut ball piece, and it has his name signed on it. Me and Dan were talking about it. We're thinking that might be a $20,000 to $50,000 card, especially if it's pulled before a super fractor. So that's going to be the big draw of that. I think we still have a couple spots left. We're doing a random group break on that. We're going to bust in Sunday the, what's today, the 2nd, so Sunday the 5th. We're going to be busting that product, so I hope I have my dates right. I'm doing that on the fly, but overall, I'd probably give that product a B, just for its value, what you get in it. Would have loved to see Machado and Taillon in it, but maybe they are, but early signs of the checklist showed that they got pulled off of it. So they're going to hold those guys out probably for like Bowman Platinum, try to build up Bowman Platinum. So that's at least my take. So you heard it here on MojoBreak.com. So Panini Prestige gets a C, and 2011 Topps Pro Debut gets a B. All right. Hey, guess what we got for sale? Advertising space. And guess what? You need more customers. You, Mr. Sports Card Online Retailer, needs more traffic. And why not when you got a sports card show that's dedicated to the hobby? So contact mojobreak@gmail.com for advertising info, rates. You know, maybe you just send us a box. That might just tide us over. Might put your name on the air. So contact mojobreak@gmail.com for further information. Okay, well, that does it for episode 2. Thank you for tuning in once again. Check us out on Facebook.com. Also, check out MojoBreak.com. And to give a little analogy here, the podcast was the wine. Now we're going to bring you the cheese. Now, what I mean by cheese, we got a treat for you. We're going to play the whole Ram It song to close out the podcast. The LA Rams from 1985. Ram It. Check it out. And you guys have a good one. Peace.
Starting us off, the Rams get down so nobody score. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to zapping. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Jeter, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back.
This limousine with it, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special teams. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
Ram it.
Stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want Dick running over me.
This is Babyface and I don't yield. I'm a Texan fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay, if you run at me, you'll have a bad day.
This is RB, no Speedball Brown. The fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is Catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a BB in the dark. So now you're ready and I'm sure you'll agree. The ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
Man, if Eric can't get it, I-
I will and I can. I'm strong as you come, but I've got a brain, and stopping me is like stopping a train.
I'm Carl Lee, the general of the D. I make the calls, I'm the coaching LB. This motorcycle, he's got style and class. If you come my way, I'll knock you on your ass. Today's the name's intimidated. Passing my way, I'll see you later. Quick on my feet, the ladies agree. Before they know it, they'll ram it with me. The Iceman coming, Leroy is the name. I cover the corner, interception's my game. Score more than anybody else on the D, cause I move like a cat, as you will see.
The guys call me Dick instead of Dickerson. I lead the reins, I'm the Rams' top gun. They say I'm as smooth as a runner can be. Even Sweetness and the others are talking about me. I like to dance and have a lot of fun. When it comes to ladies, want a brainy one. But enough about me, we'll hit a ram it, you see. If you ram it just right, you can ram it all night.
Ram it.
MojoBreak.com.